How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Hey guys, summer is here. You're looking for things to do. There's a simple thing that you can do with your friends, with your family, with your kids, everybody, that will make you the hero out there, and that is paintball. Whether you're the best man, whether you're throwing a birthday party, whatever it is, you will be loved by one and all for choosing Boston Paintball for the activity of choice. I'm telling you, Boston Paintball knows exactly how to give you a quality experience out there. They have been the biggest and best known name in New England for paintball for 25 years. They got their start in Boston next to the Garden on Causeway Street back in 1992, in the shadows of the old Garden where Larry Bird used to play. That's where they started. These are Boston guys. This is a Boston business, a local business. So you want to definitely frequent them. Keep the money local and support your local businesses. You can take kids as young as 8. Take them there for the Splatmaster, which sounds fun. I would do Splatmaster. Go there for the low impact classic paintball for guys, 10 for your kids, 10 plus, and do the private group play at any one of 3 different locations. You can do the indoor and night play in Chelsea. You can go to the outdoor competition in Woods Ball Fields in Maynard. Or check out the real-life 23-building apocalyptic cityscape in Ashland. They've got the hospital there, the airplane, the army deuce. You can go fight and shoot through all of them. I'm telling you, Boston Paintball is the way to go. They've been part of the good times for over 1 million players over the course of more than 20 years in the business. Just go to bostonpaintball.com. Make your reservation online. While you're there, check out video tours of the facilities so you can decide which location you want to play first, and then use the coupon code GREEN when booking to get $50 off a group package. That's bostonpaintball.com. Make your reservation with the coupon code GREEN, and you get $50 off a group package. Do it today. You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King, locked on trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melly.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We are here for you on draft night, the Boston Celtics selecting Jason Tatum. I am John Corrales along with Sam Jam Packard, who is on the streets of New York celebrating this pick at a draft party. So let's get into it. First of all, we have so much. We've got potential Paul George draft pick. Trade scenario. We got an actual Jimmy Butler trade to Minnesota, but let's start with the draft pick. How are you feeling about Jason Tatum at number 3?
I'm feeling all right. I think it's kind of what I expected the Celtics to do going into the night. I think he's a solid prospect. He can create his own shot. He seems to be a little bit versatile in terms of what he can guard. I'm not entirely thrilled about him. I still think he's a 19-year-old. I don't know how much he's going to contribute to the next team, but I think he's solid. The news of the Paul George trade, when that Woj tweet came in, made me a lot more excited. and the subsequent tweet where he said the talks called off or have been stalled a little bit, that kind of put a little bit of a damper on night. I think it's kind of the worst the Celtics could have done tonight. It's just kind of they took their pick and they're moving on. But considering what the Paul George news, I still expect something to happen with that. We don't know at this point when we're reporting. The Jimmy Butler news is kind of intriguing. I think the Bulls gave up not enough for Jimmy Butler, and you would think the Celtics maybe could have made a deal for him, but considering how little the Bulls gave up, I don't know what exactly were they thinking, but it was basically just all right with the night. I think Jason Tatum's all right, but I've kind of been hoping for more, and I feel like that's exactly what the Celtics Twitter and Celtics fans have kind of been expecting in the past 2 years, is just like we thought a little bit more was coming.
Well, that's the thing. This is the story of the Boston Celtics on any sort of deadline, that there's a lot of talk because Danny Ainge is talking to everybody. He talks to everybody. And that doesn't mean that, I mean, some of the stuff is imminent. Some of the stuff is hot and heavy, but so much of the reaction that I've seen online, people on social media pissed off at certain things. They want certain things to happen. They're dying for Jimmy Butler. They're dying for something that whatever. They're all reacting to whatever reports are out there. And we don't know who's putting out the reports. Are the Celtics putting out the reports? Are the Bulls? Are the Pacers? Is somebody else trying to drum up a sort of kind of, I don't know, get some leverage to say, let's force their hand so we're going to put this out there? This is stuff that happens all the time. Teams are in discussions all the time. And Ainge gets, whether fairly or unfairly, he gets the brunt of the jokes. Like someone on Twitter said, I can't believe he's got six kids because he always seems to pull out at the last minute. Like those jokes are,
that's a pretty good joke.
It's a pretty funny joke, but it's I don't know how fair that is, because is he the one that's pulling out? Is he the one that's supposed to be kind of giving in to whatever the Pacers want or whatever the Bulls want?
Well, here's the question. Do you think the Celtics could have put together a better package than Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, and the number 7 pick? Getting back to 16 pick, which I was shocked the Bulls included, I think the Celtics definitely could have put a better package together, but would it have been worth it? So we're talking the number 3 pick plus something else.
Yeah, I mean,
do you trade that for Jimmy Butler at this point?
The Celtics could have put together a better package. Absolutely, they could have. They could say Jaylen Brown, the 3rd pick, and whatever, the Memphis pick for Jimmy Butler, and whatever filler, Tyler Zeller, to make whatever salaries match or something. They could have done that if they wanted to. Do you want to? Do you want to do Crowder and or Smart and Jaylen Brown plus that 3rd pick, which supposedly the rumor is that's what the Bulls wanted. They wanted either the 3rd pick or next year's Brooklyn pick plus Jaylen Brown plus Marcus Smart. I mean, or Jay Crowder. Wait, now, are you giving that up for Jimmy Butler? Two top picks, a number 3 pick and Brooklyn's pick next year, plus your best rookie from last year and a key starter? Is that really what you want to give up for Butler? I think it's a little too much for Jimmy Butler.
Well, the thing is that you see how much they gave up or they got back in the Minnesota trade. It feels like it's not that much. And it feels like whatever package the Celtics would do, whether it's the 3rd pick and Marcus Smart, it feels like kind of equal to that. And because the Bulls are negotiating with the Celtics, they know how many assets they have. They know how many picks they have. It feels like if they're going to go with the Indiana package, you don't want to give them the Celtics package. The Celtics package feels a little bit better. With that being said, I feel like if they're really trying to win now, they could have put together a deal. I don't know if they should give up multiple picks and Smart and Crowder. I don't know what the less than or step down version of that was, but it feels like something they could have done. But I understand with like if the Pacers are giving up that little, you don't want to give up like both picks or 2 rotation players. So I don't know. It's a tough position. I would have liked to see them add a talent like Butler. I think the big thing is that they really think that Gordon Hayward and or probably not and, but or Blake Griffin is coming, because it feels like if they just add Jason Tatum this year, it would be a disappointing offseason for the Celtics.
Well, again, this is all relative. Disappointing against whose expectations? When you say disappointing.
Against mine expectations.
There you go. That's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm getting at. It's against our expectations. But when we're looking at what the Celtics are doing, if they just add Jason Tatum, let's just pretend that that's all that they do, which it won't be. They'll have to fill out their team somehow. We just spent weeks talking about how the Golden State Warriors are untouchable, and who knows what's happening with the Cavs. Maybe Ainge has shifted into a little bit of a long game. And is that so bad? I just don't think going after the... I want Jimmy Butler too, but not at the expense of all of these. Like, I'm not putting all the chips in the middle of the table right now. This is not the time. If Kevin Durant was anywhere else, maybe I'd say this is the time that you say, you make the move now, you look at Cleveland, they may be imploding in a year or two, you have the Warriors who are good or great, but not the mega team that they are now, then I would say, yeah, you go for the win now move. And I was very win now until you start to realize what we're up against. So now I see that the need to have a bit more balance. You want to keep Jaylen Brown. You want to keep Jason Tatum, because those are young guys and on rookie deals. And in a couple of years, 2-3 years, when Tatum's in his third year making that leap theoretically, and Jaylen Brown has already made that leap theoretically, they're still on rookie deals. You have the option, you have the ability to bring in guys or trade for guys further on down the road to take advantage of a different NBA landscape. I can just see that as a strategy. We're all sick of waiting. I want to win now. I would love to go out there and win a championship next year or the year after. But how realistic is that? I see tonight as kind of a... not giving up too much for Jimmy Butler is a sign that they're going to play a little bit more of a long game. And Paul George, I think those talks are happening because Ainge can try to get a guy like Paul George, who I've wanted from the beginning, cheap. Try to get him cheap and undercut any value that he may still have left. You get him cheap, and if he walks and you didn't give up much, all right, you took a gamble. You didn't lose that much at the blackjack table. You still have to play a little bit to maybe win something. But if you can get him cheap, that's the key. If you're going to have to give up too many assets, then that's no good for a potential rental. So I can kind of see some of the mindset with tonight.
I'm all for getting Paul George for cheap for the year. It feels like they're already an established team in the East, and why not add a star like Paul George? I think they can get him for cheap because his value is pretty low. But let's just assume that the Paul George trade isn't happening. The Celtics still would need to make a move at their current roster to make max space for Gordon Hayward. What do you think that next move is? Is it moving on from? I feel like the options are Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, Jay Crowder, or Terry Rozier. They still would need to move on from one of those contracts to make max space for Gordon Hayward. And tonight, there's no real clear sign about what their path is moving forward. I kind of expected, I don't know if expected is the right word, but I wouldn't have been surprised if Avery Bradley got traded for kind of a pick in the 8 to 12 range. But they still definitely need a move, especially with the cap going down $2 million from, or $1 million. I think it's now at $99 million a year, which is much lower than it was expected. They still need to make a move, and I don't know exactly what that move is. If they are playing the long game, I would think it would make sense to get rid of someone like Avery Bradley or Jake Crowder, as people who are not going to be there when kind of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown enter their prime. But I don't know what exactly that move is, but it needs to happen if Gordon Hayward's going to be a part of the future.
Well, maybe Gordon Hayward isn't part of the future. Maybe that's just not something that the Celtics are going to actually try to do. Maybe they just move forward next year and the year after without signing that big guy, and they spend their money elsewhere. Maybe we go to that plan that I was talking about, where you go for secondary guys and you try the Taj Gibsons of the world and the Omri Caspis of the world and other guys that are potential bench guys that you can fill out the roster for the next couple of years and just kind of roll with it. You roll with the kind of most of the guys that you have, and maybe you can get yourself to the finals and just go from there. And maybe you spend a couple of years getting crushed by the Warriors in the NBA finals before the other young guys step up. You are way out. You're out in the middle of it, in the middle of New York City, aren't you?
Oh, a truck just drove by. I mean, I apologize to any of the reigning Jays listeners for the sound quality, but I'm okay with that idea, but it seems like now is the time to get any value you want for Avery Bradley, because if you are moving that long-term game, it seems like you would want to move his deal because he's going to want way more money than you resign. Marcus Smart's also going to be a restricted free agent. It feels like you can play that long game, but in playing that long game, it feels like it would make sense to deal one of the guards just because you don't want to be in a situation where you know they're not going to re-sign them, a la Paul George, and that you're going to get zero return for them. So I can, even if they don't sign Gordon Hayward, I would agree with you that they're going to like spend some money on some veteran big men, but still you have these guys, Isaiah's up, Avery's up, Marcus Smart's up. You can't bring back all three of them, not with that type of money. So why not trade one of them now and kind of keep building to that kind of later timeline with Tatum, Brown, and maybe Rozier?
You could absolutely trade one of those guys right now. There's nothing that says they can't. They didn't do it on draft night, which it's a little interesting that Bradley didn't go on draft night, as far as we know, unless something happens the last second. But I would have expected if they were trying to clear max cap space, then they would have tried to move Bradley tonight. One of the other things to consider is with some of the other moves that they can make, they can get close to max cap space. Maybe they fall like $500,000 short without trading Avery Bradley. And we on Twitter get fixated on that they can't actually open up the max space, but Maybe that's fine. Maybe you just get Gordon Hayward, if we're targeting Gordon Hayward, and he makes $500,000 less than the max. Like, that's going to be the difference? Is that really going to be the difference? If he decides to upend his career and go to Boston, that $500,000 is not going to make or break anything. So it's entirely possible that the Celtics feel comfortable that they've opened up enough space, or they can open up enough space that they can get one of their targets. And if not, then they don't get one of their targets. I really don't think it's any skin off their nose if they don't. They just move forward. Maybe they just try to sign Isaiah Thomas to a more palatable hometown discount type deal when he's more open to it. And you move forward with him on a pretty good contract and you just try something else. You try a different approach, or you just hope the young guys can blossom sooner. I really don't know. It's hard to kind of gauge what Danny Ainge is trying to do, especially since the actual offseason has only just begun and free agency is still a week away.
No, you're right. That if Hayward decides to leave Utah, was that $1 million really going to matter? It feels like, especially if they're focusing on that 3.1 deal, that the money difference isn't going to be that big. It's really just like a change of scenery where you think if they don't create that max cap space, it won't be the biggest deal in the world. I think that's a fair point. It's just they're still going to be engaged in these Paul George discussions, and I think that it makes sense to do so. The Paul George question is really, really interesting because if you trade for him, you really hope that he re-signs, and then it's kind of a convoluted situation because do you want Paul George and Gordon Hayward on the same team? Plus, without Horford, that's kind of a lot of guys who play the three, and then with George, I guess, can play the four, and Horford's much better at the four. You don't really have a center in that position, but do you move forward? This is why the situation, Mike Darren tweeted out earlier today, where you think you would hope free agency was before the draft so you could kind of figure out these situations. But is it Paul George or Gordon Hayward? Is Paul George just kind of Gordon Hayward insurance, or is there a situation where you can see them bringing both of those guys in? Because then in the following season, the question of do you re-sign George, do you re-sign Isaiah, you've already given Hayward this max extension, you've already given Gordon signed Hayward to this deal, it becomes a tax problem real quickly. So it's going to be fascinating to see if these kind of Paul George conversations come to anything. It'd be very Danny Ainge for them to kind of stall out on draft night. But considering Hayward's decisions is more than a week away, it's very confusing times for the Celtics, because I don't know if I can advocate for them spending all that money. Do you think a team of Isaiah, Gordon Hayward, Paul George, and Al Horford could beat the Cavs and actually compete with the Warriors in the finals?
I think they'd at least take a Cavs. I think they could take the Cavs. It would be interesting to see how well they did it, but I think if depending on who they gave up for Paul George, who let's just to update with some of the Woj reporting, he says that talks got serious and that other teams actually thought Boston was on the verge of getting a deal done. But right now, it doesn't seem like anything is happening tonight. So we'll see how that goes. But if you throw out those guys as your starters, do you have Jalen or Jay Crowder on the bench? Do you have one of those guys? Do you keep Tatum? I mean, how it's going to be interesting to see who they throw at LeBron and how they match up otherwise and how good their bench is going to be. But that starting unit could compete. They would at least be, it would at least be a competitive series. So there's,
I think I agree with you. That's fair.
Yeah. And would they beat the Warriors? I can't sit there and say they would beat the Warriors. The Warriors are just too goddamn good. But they will do no worse than Chicago than Cleveland did this year. I think they could give the Warriors a little bit of a series, but they'd need some help.
Yeah, no, I think it would be they're definitely competitive with Cleveland, and I think it'd be definitely an interesting thing. The thing is, do you do that for 1 year without knowing Paul George's desire to go to L.A.? Do you kind of commit those assets? Because you probably have to give up someone like Jaylen Brown or a future Lakers pick or the Kings pick or a top pick. I don't know. It's really hard because we don't know what the market for George is right now. How much has his value dropped given the fact that he's told the Pacers that he's not going back next season? But it's definitely something I think the Celtics are going to pursue, and it doesn't necessarily have to happen on draft night. They could move forward and do it before free agency, but it feels like the Pacers' incentive is to definitely deal Paul George before the season starts.
Absolutely. I don't think Paul George can go back. So the question is, will another team be more motivated to get Paul George, or will the Lakers try to swoop in to kind of solidify his standing, his you know, solidify him as a Laker, and not take the chance on him going to Boston and falling in love with that Boston mystique. So I think there's some risk, but I don't think the Celtics are going to overpay for Paul George. So we'll see how that goes. There's still kind of a lot of time for that to work itself out. So we'll see. We'll see how it all works out. Jimmy Butler, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think I have to go soon, but we've spent very little of this conversation talking about Jason Tatum, the guy they drafted with the number 3rd pick. And it feels like he was a high school recruit coming out of college. Like, this kid definitely has talent. It feels like he's getting less recognition than he deserves because so many people are focusing on what the Celtics should do. He's a very good player. I was with Sammy Sheehan tonight of Celtics Hub. He was devastated by the Tatum pick, but I don't know. I think there's still a lot of potential with Tatum, and he could certainly turn out to be possibly the best player in this draft. We don't know as draft experts at this point. So I don't think we're giving enough credit or just talking about Jason Tatum and what he adds to this team right now, because he could be a very good contributor and a scorer that the team didn't have, a guy who can actually shoot the ball. I think we should just kind of refocus on the fact that we added this pretty nice talent to the team. I feel like it's come kind of full circle now. I was focused on in the beginning about Paul George and Jimmy Butler, but the Celtics can't be discouraged. No matter what, you can't be that upset because they added a top three talent to a team that won, was the first place in the Eastern Conference.
The Celtics say that they had him at the top of their draft board for a long time, which could be a bunch of bullshit or it could be for real, but that's what they say. So if that's the case, then they got a pick in the future for taking their guy. I personally was torn between him and Josh Jackson, but I kind of like the fact that they took the guy that can shoot and that can score. And for once, they didn't just go for the defensive menace that can't score. I think last year we saw how important shooting was for the Celtics. We need people who can knock down shots. We need to surround Isaiah with people who can knock down shots. So theoretically, Jason Tatum can knock down shots. And if he can get in there and make the most of his minutes early and get 15 to 20 productive minutes a game, then he'll have an opportunity to do that and knock down some shots. It'll be real interesting to see him and Jaylen Brown playing next to each other and running the break together. So I like the pick. I was torn between him and Jackson. I would have liked either guy. I'm okay with how tonight went. And we're recording this before the second round, so we can talk about the second round next week. You got to go. You're being pulled away. So
I'm in the middle of New York City right now, walking with some hip people. It's a good time, but for the audio quality of the listeners, I feel like I have to go soon because who knows what trouble I'm about to get in.
Yeah, we'll let you go before anything incriminating happens on the air. All right. Thanks, Sam. Thanks for taking time out from your little party to podcast with us. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for rating us 5 stars. You got to rate us 5 stars and give us a good review for pulling yourself out of a draft party and podcasting and then diving back into the draft party. That's heroic work by Sam Jam Packard. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
I'm no hero. I'm no hero.
I don't use the word hero very often, but you, sir, are the greatest hero in American history.
I thank you.
Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Yeah, J. King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics.